Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
We've got a little time between now and then to talk to Eric Zorn, as we have been of late on Mondays at this time. Hi, Mr. Zorn. How are you?
Hi, John. I'm very good. How are you doing?
Good. Eric's the author and editor of the Picayune Sentinel, a newsletter that drops in Chicago on Thursdays. The former Chicago Tribune columnist and sometimes columnist in the Daily Herald. You watched a lot of basketball over the weekend and wrote 10 ideas for fixing the game. If we go fast, we can hit on the most important ones. You ready?
Okay. Which are the most important ones?
First paragraph is fascinating. I'm just going to quote to you from you. It said, from 1910 to 1948, college rules prohibited coaches from even speaking to players during timeouts. But now we're at the other extreme, and the tendency is for coaches to hoard their timeouts and turn the final minute of a game into something resembling a huddle-based sport such as football. I completely agree with you, Eric. So what's the fix for that?
Well, the fix is to allow only a quick timeout for like 10 seconds for substitutions during the last minute. Let the guys play. The coach should be teaching his players how to play and her players too in the last minute of the game, and they shouldn't have to stop the action every X seconds for these long strategic sessions. Get the players, tell them what to do during practice so that they know what to do at the end of the game. It is excruciating how long that last minute of a close game can be.
I know, and we're all like, oh, that's the way it's going to be now, and you hate to see it turned into a free throw shooting contest. You had a brilliant idea, I thought, where if a player gets fouled, he can shoot the two free throws, say, or they can give him the shot from where he was going to take the shot, nobody guarding him. Something like that, right?
Yeah. What you want to do is you want to eliminate the strategic foul. I mean, I understand. We all understand the concept of a foul. Or you're playing defense, you're too aggressive, you fouled somebody. But toward the end of the game, there are all these, and also during, you know, if you've got somebody who's in a breakaway layup and they foul someone to try to get them so they can't get the shot, it seems to me that fairness would dictate the option of, if you have the free throws if you want, but since we fouled you in shooting, we're going to let you shoot the ball uncontested from where you were fouled.
So,
and I think that would, I mean, you know, I do have this problem at the end of the game. The other thing that I think is really annoying at the end of the game is when teams continue to foul, and they're deliberate fouls. And in basketball, an intentional foul is supposed to be a technical foul, but they never call that at the end of the game. They just let you deliberately foul somebody. And again, that just slows down the action. It's not basketball anymore. It becomes a free throw shooting contest.
Yeah, well, it does.
It's like something at a state fair where you're trying to win a stuffed animal or something.
But we say the penalty for not being a good foul shooter is that you miss your free throws. So it becomes strategic that way. And the sort of the chorus of people is, well, then learn to shoot free throws. But maybe we're saying the wrong thing. I like your idea. If I'm going in for a layup, maybe I can't shoot free throws. But guess what? I'm making a layup now. Why does that have to become a free throw shooting contest? Give me my layup. If I miss the layup, fine. If I miss the dunk, fine. You had this suggestion too. Disallow mercy timeout requests. What are you talking about there?
Well, this is a real pet peeve of mine, which is, say you're trapped in the corner, right, on a press, and the player will turn to the ref and call timeout when he's in trouble. And I think anytime you call timeout when you're in trouble, it goes against just the entire spirit of the game. You know, a quarterback, when he's being rushed by an aggressive linebacker, can't turn to the ref and go, timeout. You know, my blockers didn't work. And so you see players like dive on the floor for a loose ball, and grab it and call a timeout. And I think the rule ought to be, you can call timeout, but not under duress. And there was a rule in 2006, the NCAA got rid of the rule. Remember when players would like jump for a ball, they'd be flying out of bounds, they'd catch the ball.
And yes,
before they landed,
right,
they would turn and call timeout.
Yeah.
Well, the NCAA got rid of that for the same reason they should get rid of these emergency timeouts. The ref should say, you called timeout to get yourself out of trouble, and that's not what timeouts are for.
You wrote, know, timeout, You wrote prohibit falderal between free throws. What's the falderal you're worried about?
It's when a player shoots a free throw and then all his teammates have to come and slap hands, and whether he or she makes it or misses it, they've all got to slap him on the butt and talk to him and just like give the ball. Once you get the ball to the free throw line, no one should be allowed to enter that circle until you're done shooting your free throws. It takes time. It's ridiculous. I just think it's one of these things that slows the game down. I mean, basketball is a beautiful, wonderful game to watch, but I mean, you have to have free throws. I understand that to prevent it turning into a rugby game.
Okay, Boomer, that one I never understood. The it's like a nervous tick that all teams have adopted, and if you don't do it, it's like everybody helping a fallen player off the floor, then it looks like bad sportsmanship, so everybody knows they have to go through the drill. You don't want to be the team that doesn't reach out to help your teammate or pat him on the back after even a missed free throw, but I agree with you that slows the game and seems to be utterly unnecessary. Talk to me about this escalating number of extra free throws. When and how would that come into play?
Well, the idea is that fouling out of a game is an unusual concept. You want to keep that concept of penalizing a team when a certain player is too aggressive. But rather than removing the player from the game, make it a strategic decision by the coach. Do you leave that player in because every foul that a player commits over the foul out limit, say, it's five in college basketball. So on the sixth foul that player commits, you give an extra free throw or perhaps a technical foul for the extra. So you can keep your star player in after he or she's fouled out, but
they become a liability
potential liability. So it's sort of a strategic decision because fouling out oftentimes, one of the things, this is a broader question, but I think the officiating in basketball is bizarre. I mean, they'll call traveling on a little shuffle step out of the circle when someone is driving in for a layup during the Euro step. They're taking like three big steps and doing the layup, and they're not calling traveling there. And the bumping and the slapping and the punching and everything that goes on underneath the basket, they sometimes call it, they sometimes don't.
It's the hardest sport to officiate. There's two other things you suggested. I'll pause here. And one of them made me laugh out loud. But, Eric, these are creative, and I think some of these are actually very doable suggestions on how to improve the game because it does need some tweaking. We'll pick it up here in a minute and then move on to other topics as well. Picayune Sentinel, that's the newsletter that Eric Zorn drops on Thursdays, the former Tribune columnist, joining us on Mondays to just talk about some of the things on his mind the way he used to. He has 10 ideas for fixing the game of college basketball. And the one that made me laugh, Eric, was number 8, expand the men's tournament to 96 teams. Why?
Oh, I just think that having more teams in if you look at it, Michigan was evidently the 64th team chosen to be in the tournament, and they're now in the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of teams that can get hot. This team from St. Peter's is charming the country with its making it to the Sweet 16 as it's this little tiny school in New Jersey. It's pretty wonderful to have more teams. And as long as you're going to have what it's now 68, right? I mean, it's
yeah.
And so why not make the men's and women's tournaments bigger? I think in high school, every team makes the state playoffs, right?
Essentially, they play this, yeah. Uh-huh.
I don't have a problem with that. I think it is a great event in sports every year. The playoffs, the tournament, the brackets, and everything. It's exciting. So why not let more teams in?
You said have the length of halftime, which, what I think you're running into with these, you don't like all the timeouts. I think they have way too many timeouts, number one. I agree with you that they ruined the end of the game, and I think halftime is too long, but TV, man, you're up against TV money there.
I don't care if they run commercials all through halftime. It just seems like
a block of them. Yeah, but I mean, the reason they have a 20-minute halftime is they can do, some chit-chat commercials. They're just putting content in there to get to commercials. So if you quicken the game, eliminate timeouts, and shorten the halftime, it's probably going to cost them money. But go ahead, Eric.
No, I understand that, but I think it would be better if the halftime were shorter. It is. I think it's 15 minutes during the regular season, and I think it expands to 20 during the postseason or more. I noticed that because I record most games and watch them a little bit after they've started, so that I can catch up to live action because I just can't take all the breaks. I want to point out, though, talking about these rules, that you know, baseball is a game with so much tradition, so many rules and statistics and so on, but basketball changes its rules all the time. There's a list online that I'll send you the link to. The NCAA has changed its rules like 61 times. You know, the 3-point line is here, then it's out here. That, you know, and they have dunking and then no dunking and then dunking again. It's a game that is adaptable. And so some of these rules that I'm proposing, you know, there is no staunch traditionalist thing in basketball where people feel like you can't change the game. It's sacred the way Naismith drew it up. Well, no, you know, this is a game that needs to keep adapting to the rules.
So I would also allow the players more opportunity to celebrate, to flex their muscles as they roar after a big shot, because my goodness, how can you contain yourself? It's so exciting. And you're the player that made the play. I think the other players who are getting elbowed and punched and kicked in the lane can take a little celebration by another guy. What are you going to do, hurt his feelings? I think they're way too quick to call that.
I totally agree. And was it Martinez yesterday on Illinois who got
what
called
a ridiculous
for
call
hanging on the rim? And it wasn't even a, you know, I mean, he was going really fast and he had grabbed the rim so he didn't go flying into the stanchion.
Yeah.
And I don't know, the coach said afterwards that may have killed their momentum. I don't know, but I was so disappointed in the way the Big Ten performed yesterday.
If you get to change the game, Eric, here's the other thing I've always wanted them to do, or I have of late. They need to make the court a little bit wider and a little bit longer. As you mentioned, a 3-point line is there now, and it's gone wider still. So the fact that a kid is taking a step back to shoot an even longer shot, you shouldn't penalize him for that. But, his big old size 14 sneaker just stepped on the out-of-bounds line. Well, that's because the court is too small, because you've pushed them out into that corner. So why don't we just give them a little space? If you widened a basketball floor by 50 feet, there's no real advantage there. We're just trying to give them room to play the game. So expand it by 2 feet on either side.
That's a great idea. And also would make that 3-point shot from the corner, which is now much closer than the shot from the top of
yes,
the key.
Because you could actually keep it consistent. Yeah.
And you're right. There's probably no reason, certainly in the major college and pro ranks, that you couldn't have a slightly wider floor. I'm sure there are high school gyms all over the country where there just isn't room to add another couple of feet on each side. But, you know, there are different rules for high schools, different rules for different gyms and so on. That would make total sense. I'm there with you.
I got a minute and a half left. Why do you we talked to Willie Wilson a little while ago. I want to pass on the gas thing. Talk to me about Netflix. Why are you upset with Netflix today?
Well, Netflix is talking about, they're starting this experiment, I think, in 3 Latin American countries where they're going to be clamping down a lot on password sharing. It's become very common to give your password to your kids or something. And so you have a family plan, but you may not all live in the same house, but you're paying for the same Netflix account. And they want to crack down on that and make you pay more per month if you're going to be sharing your password. And first of all, I think that they misunderstand fundamentally the fact that that is why people are willing to pay what they pay now for Netflix. It's $15.50, I think, a month for the regular program, and then $20 for a premium Netflix subscription. It's a lot to pay, but if you can bring your kids in on it and share it and travel with it easily, that's okay. But if they make it so that you can only access Netflix in your own house, I think they're going to find people are going to say, okay, I'll subscribe to Netflix for a month and then I'll drop it. And then I'll subscribe to HBO Max for a month and I'll drop it. And then Hulu for a month. And they can't keep expecting people to be paying all this money every month for all these services.
This may be a topic for the Mincing Rascals later this week, because I have some contrary things to say about all of that, but I don't have time here today. By the way, 847 texted in and said, I wish they would stop flopping in basketball. That is, well, at least they do get penalized for it if they do it too often. But
yeah,
I don't like that either. I am out of time. Eric Zorn writes about these sorts of things in the Picayune Sentinel. You can subscribe even for free. Just email ericzorn@gmail.com. And I'll talk to you later this week. Thank you, Eric.
Thank you, John. Bye.